is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hornell, joined as always by the Widemoo, Triple OG Widemoo Mason.
What's happening?
And Widemoo is going to be hitting different this week, OG, because the time has come. The colours are here.
Yeah.
We're about to hit Auckland, New Zealand for the Waz game against Manly, plus many more while we're over there. We obviously, the reason for heading over, we've got the golf episode coming up. Yep. But Lukey, our guy behind the camera who does not have a mic, by the way, just we're in a studio that it doesn't allow for
he's
you guys
in,
to hear
he's
the mic from the outside.
So
he sits,
glass case of emotion.
He's Ron Burgundy. He's Ron Burgundy sipping on a bit of milk at the back there. Actually, he's not on milk anymore. My guy's looking after the rig. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But Lukey's got some, what would you call, Levels patches little here patches for you guys. Little patches O'Houlihan. So we've got a few of these. We just wanted some sort of memorabilia to hand out on behalf of Levels. Like we said, we've got strong representation in New Zealand.
So you put them on a hat, I suppose. Hat?
Yep.
Or a shirt? Anything, Lukey? Just like, or mainly just hats, Lukey?
Whatever you want to put it on.
Whatever.
So we were going to, like, obviously we're dropping a little bit of merch, and Lukey was saying either put it on a shirt, hat, or whatever you want. So we're just going to leave it up to the punters, really. We'll just be handing them out, put it on there, says Auckland 2.
How many we got, Lukey? 150. Got 150 of the best.
Auckland 2023, our debut year in Auckland, so we're going to make this an inaugural thing.
Well, these are the OGs.
Yeah, this is the OGs.
This is our first ever year, Levels 2023, first trip to Auckland as a team, Levels 2023. And,
collector's item.
A collector's item, you know. Yeah, you tell your kids. Maybe we could, there's enough little. Yeah, I can chuck a little hint.
100%.
Chuck a little signature on the top there. But shout out to Let's Trotters too, well, by the way. But like, bang, look at that.
There we go.
Screen's gone. You turned the screen off. looking forward to the trip and getting amongst it with the.
It'll be good, man.
We'll save that a little bit later. I was gonna toss you a few names, but we'll get to them later at the YouTube questions, Mace. Before we move on to that, I'd like to give everyone a little update on our City to Surf.
Yes, recap. Boys. Well done.
So I'm stoked, mate.
This is kiddies for you, but.
Yeah,
you did 20K like in Queenstown.
Yeah,
you just did 13. I know the hill.
Yes,
yeah. Would have got you, but I saw your times. You were killing it.
Yeah, it's a different sort of beast, that Heartbreak Hill. So I did it last year, and I just didn't respect it enough. So me and Lukey were doing it this year.
Right.
My one word or one piece of advice to Lukey going into it is like, respect. just give it the respect it deserves, because when someone tells you like a hill's 1.4K. And I've been through Rose Bay and Bondi and that many a time. And when you're driving, you're sort of like, yeah, it's pretty big, but you'll be sweet. For whatever reason, I just must have been super out of shape last year, but I really struggled up it. So I did a shitload of hills this year in preparation, plus obviously preparing for the Sydney Marathon. I've ran at least a half marathon already, so dropping back down to 7Ks. But in saying that, I approached this as like a practice run.
Yeah.
But it didn't end up like that.
Nah.
Once I got going and the juices started flowing and you're running next to people, so I don't know, the competitive side
just took over. How do you maximum, just say out of 100, like what percentage do you reckon you would have went at some parts of the race?
Really
putting the gas down, or you like
I was going pretty solid. Yeah, so I've got the splits up in that as well.
450 splits pretty much?
I think the low, my lowest split. So
average,
for my preparation for the Sydney Marathon, on a weekend for my long runs, I'm trying to maintain of heart rate and both the splits. So I'm trying to sit anywhere between like 5:30 to 5:45 per kilometer.
Right, but you're well under five for most.
Yeah, because this was shorter, right? Because I just, you know, like I said, this is the competitive juices taking over. Like I said, so ideally in my head, I was like, you know what, I'll sit 5 to 5:15. That'll still be a really good run, and it's still on target for preparing for the Sydney Marathon. So the first one was good, five minutes.
But that's because you were saying at the start, you're nearly in a walking pace, right?
Yes.
You've got a crab walk.
Yeah, and then I went 4:40, 4:52, 4:56, 4:37, and 4:55.
Yeah, nice.
Then I got to the hill, the start of the hill, and went 5:57. So I hit a bit of a wall.
Yeah.
And then I went 5:10,
expected,
about halfway up the hill.
Expected.
Coming in. Yeah. So yeah, I was expected to drop, but I didn't expect to be running as fast as I was sort of looking down. I'm like, because I get an alert every time I run a kilometer. So I looked down, I was like 440. I was like, oh, pull it back a bit. You're going too hard. You might blow out. Like I'm thinking in my head, I'm going to get to the hill and blow out. And then I was like 452. And I was like, fuck, I feel like I'm traveling here. Like I feel like I'm not proper going for it, but I'm still getting good times. And again, it just comes back to the energy. So really proud of my time. I got an hour and 8 minutes. I did an hour and 18 last year. Yeah. So I beat my time by 10 minutes.
Do you reckon you had more in you? Do you reckon you could have busted 60? For sure. You would have got, I reckon,
no, not 60. No, nah? No. I reckon.
You, you can't shave 8 minutes off, just say this time next year if you keep this up?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. But right now, if I wanted to go for it as hard as I could, maybe an hour six.
All right.
Max. Yeah. Yeah, but in that, and that's having a crack because a couple of minutes is a big, big gap, man. That's why I was proud because I did an hour and 18 last year. So 10 minutes is a massive jump. And then also shout out to our partner here at Levels Network, Lukey. So for people that don't know, Lukey, he's been we sort of joke about it a fair bit over the years. He's like, oh yeah, I'll start running next week. Oh yeah, I'll start my diet next week. Anyway, he had a bit of a health scare about 6 weeks ago, just a little bit unhealthy, you know, had a 42 few too many
days
drinks.
Now off the piss.
42
clean
days
eating looks totally different. I'm proud of him.
Yeah,
really well. He's done. He did, really well. And he did the fucking city surf. That's
There you go. So last year, with all the I was pretty consistent with my training. I did an hour and 18. Lukey did it this year in an hour 22.
Wow,
that's 5 minutes and 55 second clips per kilometer. So he wanted to get sub six. He got sub six, and most importantly, he's a fucking dog.
Yeah, he got it.
He hit the dirt.
He
hit the dirt in front of fucking Ravisi.
You'll see him limping over in New Zealand, boys. You think he's broken his hip, but he's got a little bit of a scab on his knee.
I think his ego hurt more than his knee, to be fair.
Straight out of Ravisi's, he wasn't drunk.
I've slipped in front of Ravisi's a couple of times.
I was like, well, we're Ravisi's, jeez, what are you doing?
So if you're not familiar with how the track works, Ravisi's is basically the last point before you turn with about 500 metres to go. So my mate, he's 13K into it, 13.5. He's probably looking down. He's got his phone on him. He's happy with his time. He's going to get the 6 minute clips. And then he just hits the dust of this fella. Scratches on his knees. He reckons he started abusing himself. He could hear people laughing in the background. He had the music
He got up super quick.
He reckons he's never bounced up quicker. Kept on going. Could see the blood coming out of his peripherals, but got the job done and finished off. So,
proper
Lukey,
dog.
Well
proper
done. Dog. Super proud of you. Obviously, like we said, you've made a lot of changes over the last 6 to 7 weeks, and that's what I want to lead into us now, Mace. We got after it this morning.
Yeah.
We did a session at the lab. Shout out to Whip.
Yeah, nice Whip.
We've got some exciting stuff coming up with them. Yep. So this is what I want to tell the our community straight away. Mm-hmm. So for people that follow me on Strava, because I posted my Strava now over the last couple of weeks with regards to City Marathon and City to Surf, go on to my Strava page. Obviously, give us a follow if you want, but get in the Levels Network community. So what I'm going to do is me and Mace are really big. Like you said, you talked about your nutrition and training. And I don't just say this because you're sitting there and we're not just doing this because, you know, we're trying to preach something that we ain't.
Yeah.
Mace trains minimum of 5 times a week. He's actually really helped me out with my training. He's kept me super consistent. I'm doing the Sydney Marathon, but I was already doing stuff with you at the lab as well, Mace. So we're really big on it. We believe in it. We want to separate ourselves and not separate ourselves, bring in people just to our community.
Point of difference, man.
Point of difference. So first and foremost, this is what we want you to do. Go on to my page, my Strava. We've got a Levels Network group. Pardon? Below. Oh, link. Oh, and nice and easy. Lukey's got the link below. But go on, get in the group with more information to come.
Yeah.
More information.
But it'll be good. It's got some good things coming. We've got some real good collabs and we just want to get after it. And we sort of want to inspire we're talking about the older sort of generation, which is the 18 to like 25, 26 year old, you know, the younger kids sort of like looking for that motivation to, you know, join a group or, you know, inspire them, educate them. That's what it's all about. And so get in there, get amongst it, get on the link. And, we've got some good things coming.
How inspiring it is for whatever age you are, like me just being at the City of Surf, 80,000 people.
Yeah, man.
There's just good energy whenever I'm doing this stuff, whether it be the Husky Triathlon.
It's contagious, isn't it, right?
It's so contagious, mate. It's like,
I think I might do it next year.
Yeah, yeah. It, but like even if it's not that, Mace, it's like you going to E-Lab and you get together and you see a couple of the girls and the guys that get down there. Some guys are a little bit overweight. Yeah. Some guys are in good shape. Some are old. Some are young. But there's nothing better than getting together with a group and just having a train. So that's what we're trying to create, mate.
And that's probably what we miss, just say, as ex-athletes, right?
Sure.
You know, like you're trying to emulate that somehow, and like none of us really go to the gym by ourselves. Like I don't do it.
No.
Like I train at E-Lab. Why? Because there's a group of people there, right?
That's
there's
a group point, of
10
actually.
Or 12. I don't go into fucking any gym and sit there and lift weights and do anything.
By yourself,
because it does my head in.
I've never done that, ever.
I honestly don't think I've done it. Maybe in the pre-season where I'm like, oh, I might get a quick weight session in, so you don't get that real soreness when you're coming into pre-season, right?
Yes, 100%.
You get a couple of that, but mainly you're with your boys as well. You go, let's get something done.
You normally take two or three.
And now I'm like, no way. Like I go to an E-Lab because you get that sort of team around you, right? Like you're training with other people. You get the chat, you get that camaraderie, and that's probably what you miss when you miss the camaraderie with the players and stuff. So you get after it when you train real hard. As I always say, iron sharpens iron. You go after it. You know what I mean? It always always brings the best out of you, and that's why I always go down to E-Lab, train in the groups. They have like classes like 5 in the morning, 5:45, 6:30, 9:30, 5 in the arvo, and 6. So it's literally a kilometre from my house. You've walked.
We've got one Maroubra Junction and Waverley.
Yeah, and Maroubra Junction and Waverley. So if I miss a session, I'm an idiot, right? So I try and do one every day.
Yeah.
And they mix it all up. It's all the same classes, HIIT classes, weight classes, all stretching, breathing, all that kind of stuff. So they've got something really good down there. So I just try and get after it like at least once a day.
Yeah. So even if you're not in our area, that's what I wanted to tell people too. By the way, get in the Levels Network community because although we'll be doing something, we're trying to sort out across our platform, our demographic basically. Yeah. So we're trying to link up with something. Those are the details we want to get to a little bit later on. But basically if you're in Auckland or New Zealand and you think that you're going to be left out, or Brisbane, Gold Coast, which
we've got connections there. That's the difference. The rugby league world, we'll all join together in this, and we'll collab with some great ex-Warrior players and New Zealand players over there. So all our fans in New Zealand, you won't be missing out. And especially with that Strava shit that you just told me today, I didn't never heard of it. And I'm like, you don't really have to be there. You just got to show it on that, don't you?
Yeah.
You're getting after it.
It is. Yeah. It's the perfect way. Like, there's no shortcuts on Strava.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose you can if you attach it to someone else.
To a dog.
Or a dog. Have you heard a few yarns like that when GPS and that first come in and people were doing that? Yeah, that's a giggle. Also, while you're there, make sure you go and sign up to levelsnetwork.com.au. You register your email. Yep. First access for the merch. We will be sending sneak peeks here first too. So the hoodie that Mace is rocking, that's a sample. That's 50-50 still at this point. Yeah. Lukey's, he's liking it. We're on?
We're on.
We're going to get it. You're going to get the hoodies. Oh, Grouse, you never confirmed that with me. There you go. Learn something new on the show as we go as well. The hoodies are in. So Lukey loves the numbers. The numbers have been flowing. So keep going. If you haven't registered yet, register now, mate. Levelsnetwork.com.au. Yeah. You'll be the first to find out when our first collection is dropping.
With the email list, though, you've got to be quick, though, because it might go quick.
With the email list, you've got to be quick because the merch we're just gauging this with our numbers, so there's not going to be a whole heap. So you've got to get in there nice and quick when we do drop. As for subscribers, we are at 14.6k. We're on our way to that 20k that we're chasing on YouTube. Subscribers are looking good. Like you mentioned last week, really grateful to be where we're at. At the top of the Spotify playlist last week. So make sure you go on Apple and Spotify, like, review, 5 stars.
Comment.
We're the Grouse. Tell us we're the Grouse. We love that shit.
Comments are good.
We never get too high. We never get too low.
In the middle.
And let's move on to something that was really important to me. So we talked a lot about the City to Surf, Mace. These are big time. So the Moose Low Carb Bars here, the Cookies and Cream Low Carb Moose Bar, a bar that defies expectations. So, Mace, I was – I pump this post. I had.
Can you have one? Sorry. Could you hide one of those in your pocket?
You don't have to hide them. I just give them.
You can have them. That's what I'm saying. Just all those little gels and everything like that.
Yeah. No. So I had one of them.
Like those little gels that you can take before the game.
Chucked it in the Skyrocket.
Yeah.
Got it about halfway through. Bang, gave myself a little bit of energy. Only did half because I didn't.
On your big one.
I couldn't go the full one because, you know, we just like, it's too much effort to just keep tromping down. Yeah. But then I had one after post-race as well. So BSC Moose Bars are currently available in Woolworths Chemist Warehouse online at bodyscience.com.au and in independent supplement retailers. And I'm stoked that people are not only, getting BSC products, but they're letting us know about it as well. Yeah. They're letting us know in the YouTube comments. They're letting us know on our Instagram. Super proud. Body Science, obviously, with what we're going to be trying to do, they will be a big part of it. So looking forward to that. It's time to move on to the great debate, Mace.
Yes. This is a new one?
Yeah, the great debate. Yeah. So Tabs, great sport debate. This is obviously based off the success of the Tillies. They're into the semi-final. Yeah. They're playing England. It was a nail-biter, penalty shootouts. Aussie get the job done.
Beating England's the best.
If we beat England to go into the final.
Yeah.
But even better, you know, like we lived in France for a little bit. Yeah. Knocking over the Frogs is nice, but England will beat even better, especially off the back of the Ashes.
Massive.
So the Tab, the great sport debate, the nation's great debate on what is Australia's national sport. Hit the link and vote for rugby league as your favourite sport. That's our sport, mate.
That's
my sport.
That's our sport.
I'm all behind the Tillies, right?
What do you think is our national sport?
Well, I'm interested to find out.
I think it's cricket.
Would you say cricket?
I think it's cricket.
All right.
Yeah.
No emails or anything required. Just click a few boxes. Don't let the other sports beat the greatest game of all, which is rugby league I think due to the success of the Tillies, we could be in a little bit of trouble. I think you're right. I think normally cricket would be pretty high up there. It's a national sport.
It's the third biggest sport in the world.
But in your opinion, what makes rugby league so great, though, mate?
Oh, I was just brought up with it, right? I didn't play cricket or any other sports when I was younger.
You would have been a nice fast bowler.
Yeah, I used to love Curly Ambrose. That's about it. I just love rugby league. I think because I'm built for the sport as well, and just that camaraderie, the team sport. You could tackle, you could run, you score tries, sort of everything that you want to do. Like, it's not boring. It's always on. There's always something on. There's nothing – you're not sitting around like even when I was playing Union when I was a bit younger, it seemed like it wasn't that fast. So especially if you're not playing at the top level, you kick it out, line out. You know, it's 3 or 4 minutes. It's all that kind of shit. You know, where rugby league, constantly in.
The ball's in play.
Attack. So that's what I really loved about rugby league. So I'm always going to be rugby league. Any sport, doesn't matter. I mean, and AFL is probably going to be up there because AFL is pretty much.
For sure.
You know, it's probably one of the most popular games in Australia. It'd be cricket, AFL, rugby league. That'd be the top
some
three,
good
I reckon.
And you know what? I'm a big sports fan, so I'm
I love it. I love it all. And I respect all sports.
So do
that's
I.
The thing. I'm not a fucking diehard rugby league fan who just goes, oh, Union soft and AFL's this. No. I respect all sports. They're hard to play. To get to the top of any sport
skill
is
sets.
Nothing but respect.
For sure.
I just love rugby league.
Yep, I'm with you. Blue, and you know what? We're a working class sport. That's what I love about it. That's my favourite part.
Yeah.
Let's get on to the YouTube questions. And this comes from a rugby union guy, believe it or not, Mace. Right. Hey, lads, I'm 19 years young from Wales, UK. How good is this? I love getting straight off the bat, just getting the ones from Wales and overseas, especially in Europe. Playing union, however, I fractured my tibia in my first preseason game. Been listening to the potty whilst in hospital, definitely getting me through it. Two questions. Any advice on how should I approach my recovery in the mental side of things, which I knew you'd love, Mace?
Yeah.
And the second one, also, where do you see Reece Walsh's career going? Will he be considered one of the best to do it by the time he hangs up the boots?
Yeah, right.
Two really good questions and hang in there, obviously. Joe Anderson, we hope you recover quickly. The mental side of injuries, mate.
Young kid, 19.
19 years old.
Tibia is the thick bone in the lower leg, if everyone doesn't know that. You got your fibula, which is a non-weight-bearing bone. Tibia is the thick one.
Okay.
So to break that is a lot of pressure to go through that. When you break your tib-fib, like where just say like a yow yay down below, tib-fib, dislocated, like that's nearly, obviously it was nearly career ending for him. But I'm not sure where the break is, but you've got to be patient. And you're a young 19-year-old, your body's still growing.
Yep.
And the mental side of things, I just think you should just be focusing on your health. That's it.
Yep.
Don't rush back. Don't, you know, like I know at a young age, you're trying to impress, and you're at a young age and you're comparing yourself to other players. Oh, my mate's playing in this rep team and I'm like, I'm busted and this and that. So you start comparing yourself to everyone else. You start getting down on yourself. Make sure your diet's good, but make sure you just really...
Mace, can you just allude to that? Because one of the biggest things that I think I've learned over the years is you can't outrun a diet, right? No, you can't out-train a diet. So even more important, why you like this, how
important is a diet? These are the little 1%ers. They're all the 1%ers. I touched on it last week with the 1%ers about players just letting themselves go through the year. You can't run at the moment. So if your weight is a problem with you, like... you're going to put on weight.
Or even if you're a slender kid, you don't want to put on shit weight.
Yeah, you don't want to eat properly and back yourself to get back to your peak fitness, right? Yes. You're a 19-year-old young bull. You're going to get after it. If you want to get after it, you'll get it. Not only seeing a 19-year-old kid, you know, and it's a fracture, it's not a complete break. So you're probably going to be in a cast for like 6 weeks and then you start walking. You're not really going to lose that much muscle. So it shouldn't be that hard. But the mental side of things is when the young kids think that they're missing out on stuff. It's a different mentality these days. Like their mates could be making rep teams and all this kind of stuff. And it's, you know, like when you're social sitting at home, social media. So stay strong, kid, and make sure your diet's good, but make sure your mind is clear and to where you want to go. If you want to be a pro, these are the pitfalls of being an athlete. Injuries happen. You got to be strong, and you got to be strong enough to get through it.
100%. I'll just add one more thing. I think Mace nailed it all there. I will just say we're in a world. There's some pros and cons to the amount of content that we're able to see. But you can go on and watch people like Alex Smith from the Redskins days, and then now the Commanders. Go on and watch documentaries about how people have come back, how they've come back better than ever. Use that as motivation.
And one word,
get information from that, and continue to listen to the professionals as well.
Perspective, right?
Yep.
Perspective and gratitude. Really, like, just think, right, it could be way worse. I mean, a lot of players that have done massive injuries that never really come back.
Well, let's use, and we're about to go to New Zealand, right? Daniel Anderson, he's not a young aspiring player. He was in a surfing accident. At the moment, he's struggling quadriplegic, right? So you always got to look. You try to find positives in certain situations, and
Alex McKinnon, young 21-year-old, his whole career got taken from him in one tackle.
What about the Reece Walsh question? Where does Reece Walsh end up when it's all said and done?
The more I look at him, the more it's like a clone between Matty Bowen as his pace and Billy Slater.
I like that. I like that.
Because he's got the skills. Like, Billy Slater didn't develop his pass until later in his career. Yeah. It was about 7 or 8 years. Matty Bowen had those mad skills. So he's halfway in between that. He's going down short side, three on three. He's beaten AB. Bang, he's throwing the long ball. He's going short.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. He's the best player in the world at the moment. He's not going to get the Dally M this year because of his suspension.
Yeah.
That's it. But he is hands down the best player in the world.
On form?
On form right now. And at the end of the day,
I would say he's the most dangerous,
mate. If he doesn't, they don't go near winning the comp without him.
Yeah, I agree.
He needs to be on every single game. Okay. He'll take that. He could put the Broncos on his back and win the comp for him.
They looked a lot more, even though I think they only dropped 2 games out of 3 he was suspended. What's going on there?
But at the end of the day, I think he'll be behind Billy as like, second, if he keeps his trajectory going up, you got Billy Slater, best fullback in Queensland history.
Yeah,
there's light years between the next one.
Lockie went to six, right?
Lockie's a 1-6, and there's no genuine fullback where Billy had it from pretty much 2006 onwards. No, 2008 onwards.
Yeah,
because Carmichael was in there a little bit. He played wing
Carmichael
at the start.
Kept him out, eh,
Carmichael kept
time.
Him out
People
a little bit.
People sleep on Carmichael.
And then so that's when Billy went back to the lab about 2005, 2006, 2007 because he wasn't in any rep team, right?
Yeah.
And then he developed the little kick, the passing game, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't just Billy just being flat out. You know, like coming around the back, beating you with skill with his left foot, those little plays with Cooper Cronk coming on the inside, Cameron Smith going out, Cooper Cronk going in, boom, Billy through the middle, out and in. Everyone started getting onto that. He started going around the back, playing 3-on-2s, throwing the long ball, hitting the short guy, little kicks, fucking polished, everything. That's Reece Walsh now.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's scary. And he's like, Reece Walsh, he can't hit that dude. So he's got the skill set of like a Mango, and Matty Bowen was holding Billy Slater at the fullback position as well.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, they were competing for a long time.
You know, so like I think he's probably really molded his game around Billy, around Mango, and sort of just made his own. And I think he's probably the complete fullback in the game.
I didn't realize how thick he was.
He's got a great
base.
Very tight shorts.
He's got a great base.
He's quads, he'd be squatting 200 plus.
You know when you embrace someone and you feel it?
Yeah, man.
Like when we I did the golf episode with him, sort of went in for the brace, fuck, we're partners, let's get after these. I'm like,
ooh. The arms, shit. The lats, I was like, chest.
That's when I had to change the rating and the way we view dogs, because I'm like, man, he's there. He's got a bit of fucking dog about him.
Just don't look in his eyes.
I was like, ooh, but he's fucking so pretty. Like, oh, I'm conflicted. Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't know how to feel about it.
If he continues where he is, it's that way. If the trajectory is massive, yeah. You know what I mean? Like if he stays at the Broncos are always successful. You know, help Billy and his greatness as well coincide with Melbourne being one of the best clubs pretty much in sports history in Australia, Queensland being the greatest team of all time, Australia being the greatest team, greatest nation of all time.
Cam Smith being the greatest player
of all
time. Yeah,
so he played with the greatest players. So like talent-wise, he could go neck and neck with Bill, but it helps with the system that you're in.
That would be interesting. Imagine the paths, how different life would be.
I always think of this,
If Cam didn't have Billy, would he go down as the greatest of all time?
Or Cooper Cronk.
Or Cooper, yeah, obviously those Cooper's three. A big one. I'd rate them in terms of
– if they all were at separate clubs in 2003, how would they have turned out?
Yeah.
That's what I always say. Like that's where I always – when I'm picking the best players of all time, like that's what I always think. Like we put them in a whole different system. How do they work out?
Mm.
Like Andrew Johns was never in the best system, but he was always the best player in any team.
Yeah.
JT, you know what I mean? Like JT went up to North Queensland. They weren't that good. He made it.
I think Cam's system proof. I think JT's system proof. I think.
I think they all would have been great.
The only one,
Cooper Cronk's assistant.
He's the one. Only one I'd question, but he's also said that himself.
Yeah,
he's coming. I think he's. I love watching him with Matty Johns. Yeah. And he's always said like
his work ethic is ridiculous.
His work ethic and the system and being in Melbourne, being able to develop from like a lock hooker to being a half.
He debuted against the Bulldogs. And played on the wing and hooker. No one knew what position he was, but his work ethic and he's so if you're gonna take little bits, if you're a young half, you're gonna just say like you're gonna look at Joey and you look at JT, freak players, IQ off its fucking head. But work ethic, methodical, is Cooper Cronk. He used to write everything down, he used to journal everything, he still does. Yeah, his work ethic is crazy. Where JT and Joey had natural ability. Plus the hard work.
Yeah.
Those two are the hardest workers in the room.
Yeah.
And that's why they're two of the greatest players of all time. With Cooper Cronk, he's fucking right behind him.
Mm.
If you look at accolades, he's probably got more than Joey.
I think he's got more than both.
And yeah, you know what I mean? But like just the optics and just like looking at him as a player, you're like, yeah, he's very systematic where he doesn't have those brilliant moments with Joey and JT because he's played in such great systems. But like he's a top three, four half of all time.
Yeah.
Easily. You know, but like it's different because he doesn't get the raps that he deserves.
Well, you can't even compare of all time, really. I think you can always compare in errors. And like when we think of our errors from 2000 onwards, you got Joey, JT, for me, Cooper.
Well, I think that's the best era. That's the best era.
Yeah, of course. We're always going to advance. 20 years from now, that's probably going to be the best era, 20 to fucking 2040, right? That's just the way that we develop and we continue to grow. Our diets get better. Genetics get better because – you know, like the food that our parents were eating wasn't necessarily the best food to be putting in their bodies, right? Yeah. So humans are only going to get better, more information.
I just think, just say with those two halves, with JT and Joey, that era that they played in really suited the way they played because it was very open and they could play eyes up footy.
Yes.
Where right now you're not really getting the best out of these halves and not really like letting them play what they see all the time because you sometimes get stuck on one side of the field where Cooper Cronk and that he could go anywhere. Joey went anywhere he wanted to anytime he got the ball and so JT.
Mm.
You know, now sometimes
– there's not as many like –
it's the system of the game.
Yeah.
It's like it's really hampered a lot of halves. And, you know, like even like Dearden, right, at the start, they tried to put him in, it just didn't really fit.
Mm.
You know, and bang, play 5-8, go to another club, bang, origin player, like representative player in the future. So it's really, it's, and I think it's somehow coming back that way where they want halves to take over.
Yep, I agree. Moving on to the next one. I have not long started listening to your podcast and I keep on hearing Willie Mason called the OG. Can you please tell me what that means? So I gather that Lyndall Wakeman is maybe of the older variety, a little bit older. You must indeed be an OG. OG is an abbreviation for original. So Mace come before me. He was a vet when he rocked up when I was at Manly. Always had a lot of respect for what Mace did before me. So it's a term of endearment or respect to older people that have gone before you. OGs. Yeah. Mace's OGs are the Gordy Tellises of the world.
Gordy Tellises. Gordon asked me this as well. He goes, what the fuck is OG? I said, original, OG.
Yeah.
He goes, I said, you're an OG. You're my OG. Nigel Vungen is my OG. Ruben Wiki, all those blokes, they're my OGs, you know? Like,
in the States, it's original gangster.
Yeah, in the States, the OGs over here, it's just like, the OG, original.
The original.
And he goes, and he was stoked. I said, you're fucking coming on the show, don't worry.
Yeah, you're the OG. Also, she's just followed Lyndall Wakeman. I wonder if that Lyndall could be a guy Wakeman. Or a girl. Love your work, guys. I enjoy this podcast so much. Listen on the way to work. I have met Willie once when he was having a coffee in Derby Street, and it was my daughter's 18th birthday, and I remember him walking down Derby Street and coming into the cafe we were to wish my daughter a happy birthday. Never will forget that. You're a legend, Willie. P.S. I'm a former Toronto resident.
Yeah, Toronto in the house.
Toronto, stand up, baby.
Mm.
Thanks, guys. Yes. Little Wakeman. So no worries. Thanks for the message, mate. Always like to hear those.
Appreciate it.
Especially those messages of, sometimes, the way we speak and carry on a little bit.
You sort of forget, like, the impact.
Yes.
I was always one of those players, and even when I was doing stuff like that, I was always aware of the impact that you do make with younger kids, you know what I mean? Because I was that younger kid. If someone had ever come up to me and just went,
Lukey's got something, sorry, guys. Lukey just said that there was a microclip of Mace being tagged in the Waterboy. He talked about how Mace called Maddie the Waterboy. Shout out to Maddie the Waterboy. Shout out to the Beak.
I didn't know because that was on Bloke in the Bar,
You said, mate. And plus, also, you just don't want to be a fucking lemon.
Yeah, right? Like, I'd never do that because I was always thinking, I'd never do that to a younger kid or anything like, or not sign something or do anything like that. So come in there and say, it's my daughter's birthday. Of course, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, imagine being that wanker who goes, nah.
Yeah.
And like, you got nothing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just say it no because you're a fucking wanker.
Yeah.
Like, don't be. And the thing is, 99% of rugby league players and all athletes are good blokes and they will do that.
For sure.
You know, it's just that minority in every group that ruins it for everyone.
All right, speaking of groups,
mm-hmm.
we've got some names for our groups. I'm going to chuckle a couple at you that I like.
Yes.
All right, so this is from last week. So the first one's from Steve-O. Think something like the L1s for level one for the followers that have joined in the first year. So the L1s, the level ones.
I like it.
I don't hate it. I like it. All right, the second one is the name of the group of the listeners, the Mongrels.
Mongrel Mob. Now we're going to New Zealand this week.
Oh, yeah. That could get us a bit of trouble in New Zealand. Obviously, Thomas Quinney might be from Australia. This has to be a winner for sure. Blokes who love to get amongst it and have a bit of dog in them. The other one is called, obviously, going with the dog, a lot around the dogs.
Mm.
This club should be called the Pound. I don't mind the pound. The pound's good. Mm-hmm. The pound, that's from Chris the Anderson too. Pound. That's the old coach and player.
Yeah, thanks, Obes. Thanks, Obes.
Thanks for listening, Obes. You've been enjoying the show.
Loves the show.
And I think this is the one that got the most. I picked one. This is from Hillstorm Hillary, but there was maybe, I reckon, at least half a dozen, 6 to 7. Keep the name simple, fellas. Levelers, e.g., punter, dribblers, and levelers.
Levelers. Yeah, all right.
Our levelers.
That's it. I like that.
So we've got the L1s. We've got the Mongrels. Probably can't go the Mongrels because if you go to New Zealand, you're the Mongrel Mob. You don't want to be called that.
Nah.
So the Mongrels are out. The Pound. So those are three. We'll keep working on it. We're not locking anything in yet because I really want to nail this down, and it could be, you know, in the end it could be a page we start like the Punters and Dribblers page for Hello Sports down the road. So I want to make sure we nail this name. But I do like the Levelers. I do like L1s.
Yeah.
I do like our L1s.
I like L1s.
So we'll keep L1. Oh, Lukey, you like L1? That's your winner? Yeah, Lukey likes L1s as well.
I think I'm there as well.
All right. Well,
Levelers is too many syllables.
Yeah, Levelers.
Levelers.
You know what? We're going to catch up with our L1s. We're going to catch up with our Levelers.
Come on, L1s.
Which one flows? L1s.
L1s. L1s. Rolls.
It rolls nice, eh? Yeah.
All right. Well, shout out to our L1s.
L1s from day one.
Yeah, day ones. L1s.
Ooh,
yeah.
L1s from day one. Is that it?
L1s, day ones.
L1s. Bang. Yeah. I like it. All right. Speaking of dogs, there was heaps about the Pound. What else we got? The Mongrels. Let's talk about our body science dogs of the week, round 23. Mace, you're going with Adam Fanua Blake.
He's a beast, man. The amount of work that he gets through. As I said, I was sort of not harsh on him, but I was picking a few little flaws in his game was defensively, right?
Yeah, about 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, but he fucking works on it now.
Yeah.
And you're not really going to run straight into Adam Fanua Blake because he's going to pump you. He's about 125 kilos and he's solid as hell and he's got great tackle tech. It's his work around the ball. You know what I mean? Like, you know, sometimes you go
repeat
to the weak side, all the repeat efforts. And the amount of minutes that guy gets through, he got 70 minutes out in the middle. I don't give a fuck who you're playing against. Like, I think, who did they play against? Was it Tigers? Tigers. Yeah. Tigers still got a good pack, man.
Yeah.
They go at it. Papali'i still got...
That's the
strongest part of the team, right? Appy's fucking, he gets underneath them. Like, they've still got a decent forward pack, you know? 270 metres, 80 post-contact metres.
I didn't even get more, 80 metres.
That's more than some people's metres gained as front rolls.
I was 80 minute back row.
Six tackle breaks, meters. 27 tackles, and a try. That sealed the game for him. What a knock. You know what I mean? Like, if he keeps going like this, they need him to be doing these. Like, he needs to go on a run like this to make a big dint. If he's going to go at the Payne Haases, if he's going to go at the Leotas, the Fisher Harrises, because when he does that, he's going to have his boy with him. Who's the other prop there? Barnett.
Yep.
He goes, all right, you're going to have Bunty and Fowler. You know, can you go against Fisher Harris? Can you go against Leota? Can you go against Payne, Flegler? Fucking Carrigan.
I forgot to put it in. There was a question. Now, based off those three that you mentioned, right? Top three teams.
Yeah.
Penrith, Leota, James Fisher Harris.
Yo. That's your middle.
Yo, but even just let's just stick the front rows. Brisbane Broncos, Jersey Flegler, Payne Haas.
Mm.
Warriors, Adam Fanua-Blake, and Mitchie Barnett's been playing like a dog.
They need that guy.
We talked about the value of the front rows last year when we had our discussion on who's more important, Broncos. So someone threw me a couple of comparisons in, and I think this was the best one. It was, would you rather have Nathan Cleary and Leo Thompson, like a young ascending front row coming through?
I like Leo Thompson.
This is why I like this comp.
Right.
So I'll throw it to you. Sorry if I forgot your name. It was in the comments. I was supposed to put it in. So Nathan Cleary and Leo Thompson, so the premier halfback in the competition for the last five years.
He's an underrated dog.
With an underrated player, or Payne Haas and Chad Townsend.
I'm going, oh, shit. Because I like Thompson. Yes. His upside is big.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding all year. He's been my guy. I was speaking to Marco Mealy about Thompson. I said, where did he come from? He just come through the grades.
Yep.
He's been playing around for a little bit.
His brother plays rugby union for the All Blacks.
He's got. Yeah. I was looking at his stalking his physique yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, he was just in front. Fucking back, big V like that, good hips, legs, 6'3".
Yep.
Like a Fisher Harris sort of build, man. The upside's good.
Yeah.
So I'm going, I'm Cleary and Thompson.
There you go. So
I like it.
So if you put, just say you put together right now, currently how their contracts are put together, you probably have Cleary that's currently on like 1.3 million, right?
Yeah.
And then you get a cheaper front row who's ascending, like a Leo Thompson who might be on maybe 300,000.
Mm.
That's 1.6 on the cap. Or you go an $800,000 front row currently, Payne Haas, and an $800,750 half in Chad Townsend.
Because it got me thinking last week, even when I said Payne Haas and Reynolds, and I'm like, might retract that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Reynolds, I don't want to disrespect Reynolds, but he's fucking top three halfback.
Yeah.
He dominates the game. Like, it looks like it's really slow for him at the moment. Like, he's playing kiddies. He's going, let's get me to the semifinals. Like, you get a gun best seven and you like that Leo Thompson's upside. You know, like he's got good leg speed. He hits hard. He gets good minutes. I like him.
Yeah, I love him. Speaking of value of front rows, let's get on to the main topic of the week. It dropped just after we filmed the episode last week. Tino Fasuamala'awi and David Fifita have re-signed. The Titans have locked in superstar forwards David Fifita and Tino Fasuamala'awi in a major coup for the club, with incoming coach Des Hasler playing a major role, pardon me. Fifita was already signed until the end of 26. And Fasuamala'awi had mutual options for 25 and 26. The Titans confirmed on Friday that Fifita had extended until the end of 26 now, but that's a re-upped contract. That's more money than what he was on. Whilst Fasuamala'awi will remain on the Gold Coast for the next decade. So the Titans will fork out $15 million for the pair, with Fasuamala'awi to earn $12 million over 10 years, and Fifita will go 3 for 3.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. They're two of the best young forwards in the game.
Pros and cons. Let's get into it. You have to pick. They're both really good contracts.
Yeah.
But I think there are pros and cons for both club and player.
Yep.
Which contract do you like better?
As I was saying before, there's a lot of nuances in this. Like, I'm not sure about their upbringing. I'm not sure if they're coming from money. Let's say this is you. Me?
You get offered a three-year deal for
just
$3
million. Just say if I'm 23, 24.
Now, they're both 23, 24. Or you get $12 million over 10. Which would you prefer?
I think I'd back myself because I know the cap would go up. I'd do what Fafita's doing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not sure. I know Tino's going to be there for 10 years. I don't know if a halfback's going to be there for 10 years. I don't know if a centre. I'm not sure if we're going to have the requisite players for me to win a comp.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to go 3 years, get to 25. His salary cap's going to go up again because he's on about 1.1 mil a year.
Yep.
And Tino's going to average 1.2 a year.
Yes.
1.2 a year. 10 years, yep. So just say the cap, like Tino could be worth, just saying 4 or 5 years, like Taumalolo, I thought was worth 1.4 when he was on a mil. You reckon they were underpaying him in his prime, 2017.
Yep.
You know, but to feel safe, you're going to go for that 10-year deal. But if it's me, I'm going to go Fifita.
And bank on yourself.
And just go, I'm going to go this. I'll sign a three-year deal, get to 26, find another three-year deal, and another three-year deal. That the cap and his ceiling is so high, he could probably demand like 1.4, 1.5, because of the cap. Mm. It's going to be going up and up and up, really.
Yep.
That's about it. That's the way I'd think of it.
All right. I'm going Tino. 10 years. What that does is for me, obviously, $12 million is a lot of money.
That's career. Generational money, man.
It's generational money for Tino, for myself, because I'm not being Tino. I'm growing up myself. You can make a lot of great decisions moving forward with that sort of money, right? Yeah. You can invest.
Yes.
You can put it into houses, and what it does too for. That's still a lot of money, right? So just in, so 1.2, he's worth 1.2 now. I would say it's close to probably what his value was for all the clubs anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, the salary cap might go up, but that's still a lot of money and it's still really good money.
Huge, yeah.
And then what you do get off the back of that being a skipper is you give your club and franchise the freedom to then go out and recruit players because everyone knows who their key captain is, right? Mm. So if you're a half coming, you look at what Adam Reynolds has done at the Broncos. Great work from Ren, right? Ren would have had maybe a couple of options leaving South Sydney. He would have looked up at the Broncos and go, fuck, they got some talent up there. Yeah, yeah. Got a good couple of front rowers. They've got a good young up and coming back. They've got some power in the outside backs. I look at the Titans. Geez, I like the look of Fifita in the back row. Mm. I like the look of Mofod Awake if we can keep that. If I'm a half right now, let's throw out the Ben Hunts of the world. I'm looking at that going, Tino's locked in, Dave's locked in.
The last little piece
you need is now a half.
Do you think?
And then that way, if you're signed those big years, then you're able to go, these players that he's going to play rep footy with, mm-hmm. and they get into origin camps, and they start talking.
When you start recruiting, Gal started doing that.
Now he can recruit.
How do you think Gal got Louis and all those other guys?
Yep.
Let me think this. Just say Tino has not won a grand final or won Origins and World Cups. Because I think he's done everything in the game already.
Yep.
So now it's like, you know what? I'm cashing in. I'm happy at the Titans. I can be here for 10 years. What if he hadn't won a premiership or a World Cup? David Fifita hadn't won that yet.
If he retires right now, he's
done.
His career's still a success.
It's a fucking Hall of Fame career. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I think maybe that all those factors come in. His family's from there. He's got a beautiful child. He's happy as hell. Like, I remember talking to Tino over the last 3 months to see where his head was, and he's like, he's probably not going to leave because, you know, there was rumours that he might come down to Sydney. And he's like, he was never ever going to come to Sydney because obviously money talks, but, like, these guys obviously come to the party, right?
Yep.
But I was thinking, you know, if he didn't win a premiership, if he hasn't won a World Cup and three Origins, do you sign a 10-year deal? This is the perfect time for him.
Sorry, Luke, in 2013, the National Rugby League salary cap was set at $5.85 million.
Yeah.
25 players on a club's roster.
That's unbelievable.
That was the year I went to the grand final, Luke. And
2013 was five mil.
And I was on 50K of that 5.85.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, even like just say with what was the salary cap in 2004? It was like 3.2 mil.
Yeah.
Rennie was on 15 grand. Rennie Matua, Sonny Bill, like they were on nothing. Like these kids deserve everything they get. But I think, like me, I was just playing 3.25.
Yeah, there you go.
I was only on 500. Fuck. I just think I was just playing sort of like, you know, one of us had to go for each other. There's bonuses with everything, right?
For sure.
Pros and cons with everything. You know, like I'd feel more comfortable signing Tino to a 10-year deal than I would Fifita.
100%.
Because of the captaincy, the leadership, the security, I mean, just the consistency, what he puts in, the everything like that, where I know Fifita, if he reaches his potential, could be one of the best forwards to ever play the game.
Yep.
But they would be thinking, I don't want to sign him on 10 years. I want to do the three-year deal.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the 3 years come from his end or their end.
Yeah, I don't think they would have offered him a 10-year deal.
I'll tell you why you're offered Tino. This is why I'm the Titans and I'm stoked with 10 years for 12 mil. When obviously, you know, the relationship with Munster. So after they won the worst Queensland team ever, won the 2020 series, they partied up in Byron. Remember, was it the end of the series? So I flew up to Byron, went and hang out with my mate, partying with the boys. There was a couple
Big T people, there? Big T there?
A couple of people were missing. Chez had commitments, family commitments, so the skipper wasn't there. But Tino didn't go. Why didn't Tino go? Because it was his first year at the Titans. It was his first year at the Titans, and he just wanted to get straight into the facilities, go and meet fucking everyone.
Love that.
And he wanted to get to training and just to show everyone that he was fully committed to
I can't
Titans.
Speak highly enough of that kid. I've had a few talks and that with him. He's an impressive young man. He's the guy that you want to build your club around.
Yeah.
Fifita is like he's got a lot of talent, but he's not captain material. He's not the face of your franchise. Tino is good looking cat. He's a family man. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's a glamour.
Yeah, like he plays the game hard. You want to build that around him. Fifita can just, he's got so much upside, but he still needs to prove himself. Tino's put 4 years of fucking top five forward in the game.
Yep, top five front rower.
Where Fifita is like, if he touches that, if he gets near that ceiling in the next 3 years, he could be anything.
He eclipses everyone but Kickow.
Yeah.
Really. And Kicks is having a down year this year with injury and form, but on pure potential size, how damaged they can be, it's Kicks and Fifita when they're on, distant third.
Yeah. Regardless, well done to the Titans on securing both because there was a lot of big fish around for both these guys.
For sure.
So it says a lot about the Titans, says a lot about Dez.
It reeks Dez, doesn't it? 10-year deal.
Dez, 10-year backhander. I think Chucky Watmore is still getting paid.
Love you, Chuck.
Love you, Chucky. You know that.
All right, moving on to topic two, which is and are on Vegas. So the teams have been announced. Broncos, Rabbitohs, Roosters and Manly. Lucky, you put Rabbitohs twice. So that's Broncos, Rabbitohs, Roosters and Manly.
And levels.
We'll be there. What's the the name of the pool party there?
Encore pool party. Live from the Encore pool party.
That's what we're going to be
Levels from. Network.
So you'd probably think that Roosters and Rabbitohs will obviously play each other over there. And then you've got Manly and Broncos. There's been a bit of discussion in around those teams. I think they're the perfect representation. Perfect. You had to have Rabbitohs and Manly due to Russell Crowe and Hugh Jackman, who were massive parts stars, of both man. Clubs. And then
we're not hanging with Snoop Dogg. We're kidding. We'll get a South jersey. I'll put a South jersey on. I'll put a rabbit on.
Yeah.
I'll put a rabbit on.
Snoop Dogg.
Come on, Russell. You know that.
Have I told you my yarn when we met up with him over in London? So
tell that.
Yeah, so this is for those of you who don't know this story. So we went over to a good friend of mine, Luke Burgess. We were living together in France, and then we caught up and we're going to catch up in London for a night out and also with the great Flash, Mark Flanagan. Anyway, we get to a hotel, and at that time Luke Burgess's nickname's Biffer. Biffer was catching up with Russell because he was retiring that year and he was going to come back and do some stuff for South. So they had a bit of a meeting, early meeting in the morning for a coffee. Anyway, so we caught up after. As we're sitting there having a coffee, getting ready to figure out what we do in London, Russ sends Biffer a message and he goes, "Do you want to come get lunch with us?" And Biffer asked me, and I was like, "Why are you asking me for? Of course I want to go get lunch with Russell Crowe." Anyway, so it was a few details that happened on the trip, but I'll tell you one. So we get down, we go to this beautiful restaurant in Chelsea, London. Everything's as clean as fuck there. It's like there's not even a smudge on a window of these little townhouses that we're walking past. Anyway, we go into this little cafe or a restaurant that it looked like it was almost like a secret door that led into it, right? And then it's a beautiful Italian restaurant. I forgot the name of it. Anyway, so we both sit down. We're having a feed. We go around. We order our food. Me and Russell both order the exact same meal, the Veal Bosco, right? So I have no idea. everyone starts acting a bit like apprehensive after a while, getting a little bit nervous. Anyway, I've smashed my feed. We're sitting there having drinks, wine's going, beer's going. Russell hasn't touched his. He's had a dip of it, and then that's it. He hasn't touched it, and he's sitting there just drinking. I think he's even having a couple of darts. Maybe I vaguely remember him having a dart, having a smoke. So the waiter comes over, and as he comes, and you know they come to clear some entrees, and that they go, "Oh, Mr. Crow, sorry, is there something wrong with your food?" He goes, "Don't worry about it." Like, so then everyone goes, "Ooh," you know, it's like everything started to get a little bit tense. And I've looked down, right, because me and him have ordered the same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is smashing their feeds. And so he's with his best mate that he grew up with, his right-hand man. So he goes to him, "What's wrong? Yeah, food no good?" And he goes, "It's a bit dry," right? So in my head, I just finished going to Biffa. I was going, "This is the fucking best feed ever." I had no idea, right? So the manager comes out. The manager goes, "Mr. Crow, is there anything we can – we'd like to replace your meal. Is there anything else on the menu?" He goes, "Don't worry about it. It's all right. Relax." Like really calm, bro.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there going, "Ooh, this is fucking like, I don't know what to do. I feel sorry for the waiter and the manager.
Chef's shitting
but
himself.
But it's fucking Russell Crowe and I ain't saying, no one's saying shit at the table.
Eat up, champ."
So we start like kicking each other under the table, right? Because like Biff was like, "Fuck, this is getting tense." The owner comes out and goes, Mr. Crowe, don't worry. The feed's on us. You won't have to pay for it." Like he was trying to, Kent, he goes, "Don't worry about any of the food. Just pay for the drinks. That's all good. Like, we're not going to charge you for food for anything, right?" Russ just goes like a fucking proper dog, whips out this big wad of cash, flicks it. So over there, he had all these fucking £100 notes. He not only paid for the meal, he gave him a massive tip because you could just see how fucking chunky it was. And he goes, "Honestly, don't overreact. It's all good. Don't worry." And that was it.
Did he even try? Did he try it a little bit and it was just dry?
No, he just didn't like it. He goes, "Oh, it's a bit dry." He didn't like it.
He didn't even try it.
No, he tried it.
A little bit. Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, this is a restaurant that obviously a lot of celebrities go to. At the other table sitting there was, have you seen The Last Samurai?
Yeah.
The main Asian guy from
I love
escaping
him.
His name now.
I know you're talking about
Ken Watanabe. His name is Ken Watanabe. Like there were other actors sitting in this fuck. Like I'm in shorts and a hoodie. You know how I dress? I dress like a proper degenerate. So I'm on a hat. I'm in a hat, a hoodie, and some normal shorts.
Did Russ have a massive beard?
Yes, massive beard, and he put on weight for this role. So he reckons. but yeah, it was a crazy story, crazy experience. We just
some fucking hilarious Russell Crowe story.
I just chilled in fucking for 4 hours with Russell Crowe, like on a bye weekend, and that was my experience with Russell Crowe. So Russ,
if love you, mate.
Levels, we love you, brother. Let's get us get together in Vegas and have a good time. Let's get on to reviewing the games now, mate.
Yeah, let's go.
Manly kicked us off versus the Panthers, 24-12. Manly went into this game with the mindset to throw caution to win OG. But after going up 12-6, I thought they should have got the call from the coaching staff. Let's change it up. So
yes,
there's been a confirmation that the Reuben Garrett kick on the first tackle going for that kicking duel with
what the
Panthers.
Fuck?
The coaches have talked about it before the game. So it was a plan, but at that point they were up 12-6 just before halftime. I think the message should have come out to go,
don't.
We're actually going all right at the moment. Like, there's no need to do this.
That's silly. I was surprised at that, but I like the way Manly play.
Yeah.
When you, I think we used, that was the sort of plan when you're playing against Melbourne in their prime, really have a crack at them, both sides, shift for shift, and go through the middle, bang, bang, kick.
Because you're not going
to
beat
them. You've got to just try and beat them, try and move their middles around and as hard as you can, a little bit of fatigue at the end. And they were doing that well against Panthers.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
They
were shifting, they were catching the ball, they caught them out a few times. They should have just not, to beat these guys, you've got to do it for 80. Yeah. And you know, like the Melbourne teams back in their prime, they don't beat themselves.
Yes, so
you know, so you got to be consistent, and you got to be willing to fucking just roll the sleeves up all game and be persistent and nail it. And if you're going to play that expansive fucking football, you've just got to stick to it. And then the middles, I think they run out of the middles weren't really doing the job there.
Yeah.
They started then because then Leota and Fisher Harris started really dominating the ruck, and it was just like it was a bit hard for
them. Yeah, their second stints were a lot better.
Yeah.
And I thought there were a couple of opportunistic tries. As for Panthers, they might have a little bit of a dip in the next couple of weeks leading in. They're all but sorted, them and Broncos. Like, are they just looking at bigger games at the moment, or how do you see their run home?
Who have they got on the run home? They got
– let me get it up for you.
I don't – I just think they're just trying to – they're just trying to get like
– just get there
just
now?
Just get there. Like, we're a top four team. Let's just keep winning.
Top two team.
Yeah.
As in like two. On the ladder.
Yeah, we're already done. I mean, they're probably just going, let's just get through without getting injured. And then the like start – they've got to start picking like when Tungo comes back.
Yeah.
You know, like –
Keep going.
Yeah, so when Tungo comes back, what happens there? Like, you're going to get – the young kid Hoskins, he's going to be probably going back to the bench.
Yep.
Peachy's going to be back in 2 weeks. What do you do with him? Salmon's there. You know, like they're going to have to start feel like this. They're going to have to start making some hard decisions.
I think
Cleary does.
I think Salmon and Peachy will be fighting for that last bench spot.
That's what I mean. I said it a couple of weeks ago. Like that could put him behind. If Salmon has like a man of the match game, like he's not getting that many minutes. You know, and neither's Sony Luke. You know, like what if Mitch Kenny can bang out 70.
They miss Mitch Kenny through the middle.
Yeah. Like he's a gun.
That try that T. Sips scored that he just ran over, that young hooker went good in filling in for him.
But Mitch Kenny, he's a presence Kenny's in the middle.
He is.
You know,
is.
So like when I heard he was out, and who else was out? Him and –
Jerome.
Him, yeah.
Him and Romy.
And they still manage it easy. But, yeah, he hits. Like, he's one of the dudes who'll get you around here, and then Fisher Harris comes and cleans you up, and so does Leota.
It's his line speed. Like a brutal hitter. You know what he does with his line speed? He shoots out a line, and he might not necessarily hit you, but when he hits you, he got you. But if he misses you, what it does is you lose all your momentum, and then you spin around and turn around. By the time you look up.
No, but you get caught. Yes. No, you get caught in double underhooks and you get fucking driven back.
Or even worse, you run into Leota.
That's what I'm saying. But like you might spin out or spin on the inside and you get caught, and that's what they try and do. They'll try and just catch your momentum because he'll shoot out. That's what they do. One of them will shoot out.
Yep.
Oh, it'll be Fisher Harris, it'll be Yo. It'll be one of their middles trying to put you off a little bit. And that's what they do. Like, and then Mitch Kenny, his presence there like that on his kick chases and the play twos when they jam you in the corners, he's that dude. He's always there, and he hits you with bad intentions.
He does.
He does, and that's
just a really simple
thing. So what happens there if he they'll miss him if he's injured? I'm not sure. Was he injured? What happened to him?
I think he had a late scratch, wasn't it? I think he had an illness. Like I think he was crook. Yeah.
So then him and Salmon, like Peach and Salmon, will be going for that because if you're going to put Kenny 65-70, like you can put Peach there. Hmm. He can play an easy 10-15 minutes at 9.
Yes,
yeah, and play Sonny anywhere in the middle, and play anywhere in the back line. Where Salmon, he's going next year, as well. So like,
that's
I'm
true.
Not sure, you know, you're not really going to be fully invested in him.
That's
if
true.
If you've got a Sony Luke, or if you've got a Peachy who's going to be there for the next couple of years, I don't know.
Yep, be hard. Sonny be Luke hard. Extended to I think for a couple of years early on in the year. As for this has happened as well with Reed Marnie and Gamble. And then it happened obviously in the Manly game when Taruva scored and Vaenga come over the top. So twice. This is a pet peeve of mine, right?
Yeah. Just don't touch him.
I disagree. No, I disagree. I'm against you. So
just not on the head. I mean, not on the head. I mean, you do like just even Reed Marnie to touch these legs. Don't get up and act like a fucking idiot.
Well, no, but here's my point with it, Maze. Gamble and Taruva, if they don't want to get tackled late, right at the death.
Run around like that.
Don't try to take it like – so when Taruva made the break – he cut through. He was jogging next to Sony Luke. He seen Vaenga coming over. Vaenga was coming and clearly coming. Yeah. And it's not like he was blindsided. Reedy one was a little bit different. But in saying that, Reedy's a fucking dog. I love playing with those sorts of guys that don't give up on a play, right? If you don't want to get tackled and don't get hit,
put it down.
Put the ball down.
I'm with you.
5 to 10 meters next to the sideline, or if you want to get it closer and you want to get under the post, take your fucking licks.
Yeah.
It's a real pet peeve of mine. I hate it when players get up and someone tackles them right at the end and hits their legs and they throw the ball at him and go, what are you doing?
I hated that when Reed Marnie did that and Gamble like threw the ball at him. Like, what's Reed supposed to do? It's not like he jumped on him and elbowed him in the ribs and that. Like, he just tackled him around the legs.
Yeah.
Fuck, I wish he could just punch some people in the fucking head. I just look at that and just like, and you know, like, and you get blokes like coming in and pushing like a young Blake Wilson and all that. Mm. Oh,
you'd love to be
two piece just fucking straight on your chin. I would never. Oh, I'd cop 10 just to hit some of those blokes.
Yeah.
It's all you're going to get. Like gamble, especially. Like just you don't have to do that. He didn't do anything to you. It's just because you're at Newcastle and you've given us a bit of a towel up.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't. There's no bad. If there's bad intentions in it, you can do what you want. But don't do it just for fucking, you know, to start a little bit of an altercation.
Yeah.
I hate that shit. It's weak as piss.
Well, in saying that, my dog of the week, I forgot about it. It was Tyson Campbell.
Yeah, man, he's a good player. He's just got some shit in him. He's a fiery prick. I love the way he plays, but just like, just you don't have to do that. That could have been anything.
I just disagree with that part of what happened in the game.
Just don't, exactly. Don't run around like a hero, get all the crowd going after you, and someone jumps on your little leg, and then you throw the ball at Reedy.
Put it down a couple of metres early. Well, when you look at that game, we'll get to the Bulldogs in a bit before I get to my body science dog of the week.
Get it.
Mace, as a Bulldogs fan or you're a Bulldogs ex-player or, you know, ambassador, when you look at that, you're like, we need more of that shit, you know? Like, don't give up on the plays. Don't let fucking people score easily. So let's go back.
So I'm more disappointed in the amount of people that didn't fucking jump in.
Yeah, for sure.
A little Reed Marnie and Blake Wilson get pushed around.
Yeah, I love that.
It was a fair try.
Yeah. And that try was pretty good. And this is what else he did. 10 carries for 91 metres, one line break, three tackle breaks, 20 tackles and two tries. But he also had 50% of the kick in, and I thought he showed really good composure after Hastings went off. So when Hastings went off, I thought
– probably his best game, I reckon, ever in his career.
The best that I've ever watched because he's played really good games where he's been really energetic, gets in people's faces. Obviously the Marnie incident is separate. But apart from that, he was pretty composed. He sort of found his little niche at the six there. He knows he's got KP at the back, so you don't have to overcomplicate it.
Yeah, decent team.
Tyson Gamble, he was my body science dog of the week. I missed that one before we moved on. So let's get back to reviewing the games. That's enough of Manly versus Panthers. Yeah. Sharks versus Titans.
Manly's done.
And the Warriors will put the dagger in the
yes, that's it.
Yeah, whatever it is. I'm all for it.
End it.
Sharks first Titans 36-6. Sharks back up last week's performance, OG.
Yeah.
Are they peaking at the right time?
They're going all right. We wrote them off, 6 weeks ago?
Yep.
That win against South, man, that's the catalyst. They could go on a decent run now.
Well, that performance for both teams is
it's really fucking ruined one season. Because we said that. We're like, can Cronulla beat South? Like, that's a 50-50 game over there. But we were confident in South. You were confident.
I wasn't.
Yeah, but like,
we picked Sharks. I know, but
I was just thinking, no, but when we said with Cronulla, when you said Cronulla were going to miss the eight, I'm like, when we went through those teams, it's like, that South game, we don't know what sort of South Sydney team's going to turn up. Is Latrell going to be in form? Like, they're not hitting it. You know, like they, even though they did win on the weekend, but like the Sharks to win that, they got their season back on track.
You know what? I got beef with Sharks fans, right? Because I go when we do this, I go out on a limb, right? when you have the Sharks sitting at fourth and fifth, and you have them dropping out, you've got to put a few. You've got to go.
They did
try to predict things, and
you're fucking close.
Who knows? We've still got 3 weeks to go. We'll see what happens. But don't message me after the fact. You know what I mean? I hate that. Like
now, after the South game, they would have come at you, right?
No. After the Titans game. Because they were still would have been a little bit nervous just in case, right? So I have people message me. Maybe half a dozen Sharks fans. For whatever reason, we've got a lot of Sharks fans, of course. And they're like, how about the Sharks, Skip? What about the ladder, Skip? I was like, where were you 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Like, don't give me that energy now.
Where were you after Manly?
Hey, you are Sharks fans. Yeah. If you had some fucking brass nuts about you, if you have some dog in you, you would have messaged me two weeks ago and go,
we're still good.
Not one Sharks fan messaged me and went, we're going to stick it. We're going to make it. You're sleeping on us. Now they get two in a row.
Doesn't count.
Nah. You can't message me. You cannot message me when you've won two in a row. Message me before that and I'll respect it. But you know what they've done, Mace? They've just gone back to high completion footy. Nico's working down those short sides. He's putting the kick in. And it's about time.
It's Nico. It's the Nico Hines show, right? He was down a little bit after Origin. And he's the key to that side. He's the heart and soul to that side. And they go off his energy. If he's not on, they're not on. Wade Graham was good too.
Yeah, Wade was good.
Shout out to Graham. Got a try. He's got a nice try. A little holy hit there. He was good. His leadership is really showing. just taking a little bit of pressure off. Yeah. You know, they had that the young kid Teague Hilton there.
Teague Wilton.
And then Teague Wilton, and then you had the other guy in front of him. And now you put the OG back on that left edge. He's got the silky skills. He's got the fuck. He's one of the most talented back rowers to play the game.
You know who's played well the last couple of weeks, and this is his opportunity. Jesse Ramien. I love Jesse.
I've always been
a big fan of Jesse Ramien.
I know you're going to say
Trindle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he just needed to be match fit.
Yeah.
He just needed to go after it. His ball skills, and I think he's finding his feet later in the year. He's getting a little bit more match fit.
Yeah.
Because when he got thrown in there with Moylan, they were going awful that left edge anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they thought he was going to come in there and fix it defensively.
Yeah.
But with, you know what I mean? Like, he just got thrown a fucking curveball there. But now he's starting to get – he's understanding the timing off Nicho Hynes. Still going to miss Kennedy. I think he's a big loss. But the other young kid who's – playing there at the moment.
I'm blank right now. Connor Watson. What's his name?
Something Connor. Good kid. Runs the ball back.
Fuck, I'm having the biggest blank right now.
Is it Connor something, mate?
I'm sure it's Connor.
Feel bad. Sorry. Tracy. Sorry, mate. Tracy. Connor. That's a fucking hard name to remember. Connor. Tracy. Double first name.
Let's call him Tracy Connor.
Yes. Tracy Connor. So Trindle, he's coming into his own.
He's 24 years old. He's in his fourth year. If there's ever an opportunity for him, because Nicho Hynes is going to be on big money, I think he's re-signed for 3 years. I think Moisa has one more year. But Moisa could find himself in that 14 or next role because for whatever reason, defensively, that left edge was really struggling for a long period. Trindle come in. It didn't stop the first week, but they've seemed to have sorted it out the last couple of weeks. Trindle just
needs a massive preseason, get his body right, get in tip-top condition and get the best out of himself because he's got talent.
Yep.
He just needs to be playing full-time first grade because Moylan was keeping him out for like 3 years pretty much and he was coming in and out just through injury and that. It wasn't really like – you know, like solidifying himself as that dude. Now he's that dude. So good luck to him.
Yeah, in the last couple of years he's played, say, in and out of games.
Yeah.
Some of them been off the bench, out of position, but he's played like 15 games.
He's got the talent. I just think, you know, you put the six on his back and just go, this is your edge.
You're Nicho, let's go. Let's see what you got for the next couple of years at least. Moving on to the Broncos versus Eels. They're a lot more settled. They went 54-10. Titans are done.
Like, I know they were done, but what do you think of them?
Well, I just thought they were really flat. They played with 12 men for 60 minutes last week against the Warriors, and I think that really had an effect on them. They looked flat from the – if it wasn't for Tino and Dave Fifita just getting paid their massive deals and running hard, outside of that, no one really stood up.
If they had been a bit closer, Tino was closer to dog of the week.
Yeah,
he's been out for 3 weeks. He just – keep going with this one. I was trying to find his stats because they were ridiculous.
Yeah.
With the Broncos and the Eels.
The Broncos are flexing at the right moment. The Eels looked overwhelmed right from the start. The ceiling for the Broncos is not even close, in my opinion, Mace.
Yeah, they are dangerous, man.
Do you want me to get it off?
54-10.
54-10.
No, I got it. That's unbelievable, man. It's a young kid Walsh, man. The amount of move, like when it's even man on man on a short of a 6-4 split, he's getting you.
Yeah.
Because he's just burning the A and B, and like Staggs is just hitting outside the three man. Oh, man, it's great to watch.
It's the shape. So I got it for you, bro. 19 carries, 214 metres.
Jesus.
76 post-contact as well.
68 minutes played.
One line break.
Tino.
Eight tackle breaks.
Yeah.
Why does that keep coming up as well? But, yeah, just a big game. I want to see his tackles. 29 tackles as well. Shit, look at all the missed tackles in this team.
Yeah, it's awful.
6 Jaden Campbell, 6 Brian Kelly, 6 Kieran Foran, 6 Tanner Boyd,
fuck
5
me.
Randall,
what is it, 50?
5
What's he all up?
Saul Malawi, 5 Fafita, 5 from Isaac Leal. They're all their best players.
It's too much.
Well, that sums up the score, right?
Billy Walters, right? I didn't even read the notes here. I was just going to give him a rap.
Yeah.
I said before, it reminds me of like just like when you got a star-studded pack, things start to open up. You know, they're going to start like the A and B markers will start trying to get out to Payne Haas, trying to get him early, the Carrigans, Flegelers, all that kind of stuff, trying to check and release to get out the back to Reynolds, and they just leave the nine open. Little fucking dummy, boom, boom, boom.
You got Ezra Mamm sitting on the left short side, kid, 4x4. Love it, Ezra Mamm. My man. You got Paddy Carrigan in the front line, sitting ready to go with the ball. Ren out the back, Walsh out the back of that, Cobbo on the wing, Tony Staggs, my guy on a Friday night. That's what I want to be hitting, Katoni's. And
Hunter Mariner on the other old Hunter Mariner on the left wing.
Old Hunter on the left wing scoring three of the best.
Far out.
And then you forget about little Billy Walters through the middle.
Yeah, they do. They forget about him. Bad defense by Power when he scored that try. Bang, bang. They just, like, I think it was Madison turning in. Like, he shouldn't, always shoulders forward. He should never be going like that. That was bad. But that forward pack looks scary. And if they play like this, they're gonna win the comp.
I think they've got it. So do I.
I really think. I'm going to go out now and I'm just going to say Brisbane are going to win the comp.
Ooh, that's a big call. So while she had four errors, but like it felt like every single one of those errors are just a massive release to Parramatta.
Yeah, he's like
when when he's coming at him, like bad, he comes up with so much shape, like he might drop a ball and then Parra just go from
He's got that – like when he's attacking short side, so when he's like – just say if it's just to the post here and he's sitting on the open side and then he just drifts slowly, like he just makes that move slowly like Billy Slater's and the Brett Stewart's and all that. They middles shit themselves. Edge players shit themselves. And he's got that presence and he flies. He's not – if you are not putting your body – if you're not putting your body in front or you want to go half-hearted on that little dude, he's going to make a line break.
Yeah.
Then he's got the skill set to hit long and to hit short.
Play short, offload.
Great defensive play as well. He's about it, man. He's a dog. They're impressive, man. And old Ren Diggity, 1,000 goals.
How good. Congrats to Ren. So the GOAT, he finished up on 1,295. So Ren needs 295. Probably not going to get You think he's going to be around for the next 5 years? It just shows, right? 1,000 goals, Ren. He's number two on the list. Yeah. Number one is Cameron Smith.
Like, what did Hazem kick? He wasn't even on the list. Why did he score so many points?
I had it.
Because he scored 150 tries.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he kicked a lot of goals as well. But I think just the longevity of both of them. How long was
Hazem's played 330 games, man.
Wait a minute. Why did let me see. Let me just.
But he scored 150 tries.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have got him to 1,000 goals. So I'm like, because I looked at the top. I looked at the top, like just say five, and he wasn't in that. And I was like, shit. I was surprised.
I had it up today. Here we go. The list. So, Jason Tully. Yeah. Where is he?
He's not there. He's probably like he's in the
seventh.
Top 10. Yeah.
He's seventh.
But he, I think he's still the greatest goal kicker of all time.
He was so good, easily. Man. Hazem was like. He's the if best. If you so let's go through. Let's. This is a fun little game. Ooh, some good names in here too. Your life's on the line.
Hazem El Masri.
Brown bread.
Yeah.
Cam fucking. Smith, Adam Reynolds, Jason Taylor, Thurston, Andrew Johns, Jared Croker, Hazem El Masri, Mick Cronin, Daryl Halligan, and Graham Eady is the
fucking
10.
Fucking Hazem El Masri all day.
I'd love to see
all day. And then I reckon Reynolds.
I wish I had the percentage. It's percentages in there. You know what? I worry about Ren. As much as Ren's a great kicker, but you know there have been games.
Who'd be second then?
You know there have been games where it's like Ren's only a little fella. You know he's missed a distance or fallen short because he just doesn't have that fucking oomph sometimes. Like not every time, but
I played 1,000 goals. The Chook was the goal kicker. So I was lucky. I was blessed to play with – so Chook was – Darrell Halligan's the
you
OG.
Played in Chook.
So he was a winger when I first debuted. Yeah. And then Hazem El Masri took over. So we – every time it was a try, it was always the six.
Fuck.
Andrew Johns, I played with Andrew Johns and Joey. Thurston. I mean, Thurston. Cam Smith was kicking when we were playing Tess. so all of them.
Fuck, you played with some
good players. Yeah, jeez.
I will go, fuck.
It'd be good if they did have the accuracy and the percentage. Because yeah, I reckon, I think Hazem's got that.
Hazem's 82.
Yep.
82%.
Hazem's 82. 82%. Reynolds is 80%. Yeah. What's Cam Smith? I'm going Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Just because it's just like.
Cam Smith is probably because he played in the middle and he played 80 minutes every game and he still had
composure
to sit there and kick a fucking goal on the sideline to win the game.
Around 70 to
75.
Yeah.
70. Yeah. See, 70
Hazem's a sharpshooter, man. He never missed.
Despite those stats, give me Cam.
Yeah.
Give me Cam. Let us know, punters, who would you like? All right, moving on. Congrats, Ren, 1,000 goals. What an achievement. Still plenty more to come. The Rabbitohs versus the Dragons, 26-14. The Rabbits, again, find themselves in a bit of a battle, OG.
You're right, man. Don't disrespect contenders? The Dragons. Don't disrespect the Dragons like that. They're all right. They're not bad.
They're going as hard too, as you can. Yeah. They had Lomax out. They had who else was out? Jack Bird was out.
Yeah,
a few of their middles.
They still had a crack. Yeah, I've I'm slowly just sort of off the rabbits lately. They're just not getting it done. Like, this doesn't look as silky, you know, like a couple of good touches from Luttrell here and there. Like AJ, I think AJ is probably, he's playing outstanding, got a double. You know, losing big Tom Burgess, man. Just that big body through the middle. I think Totola's still out.
Yep, Totola's out for the season.
Jai Arrow's out for the season. I think Jai Arrow's their best forward.
Yep.
And he's not a big man.
Cam Murray would be the best.
Cam Murray's a lot, but he's not like, so you need those big boys. We talked about props before. You know, can they go at it? Can they go at Penrith? Can they go at Brisbane? Can they go at the Warriors?
Well, I'll throw this at you. Right, when Sharks went in that dip, who didn't they have? Hamlin Ualli.
And look at him now. Hamlin Ualli is a gun.
And Toby Rudolph.
Yep. Now look.
They missed the big chunks of footy when they were going on that losing streak, didn't they? So the value of front rows, man.
That's why they're getting over the mill.
Now Sinisoffa Solomona, when he doesn't play, they look a different team at Melbourne, even though he's playing back row now.
So the Rabbits, who are they starting front rows? You get they're rolling with Selle sometimes. The Harvillies comes on and he fits in somewhere. Tom's suspended, obviously.
Yeah, Tom's suspended. Totola's out of the
moment. Jai Arrow's the eight.
Jai Arrow's eight. And they've also got the Davey Mawale as well.
You know, it ain't the best pack. Host as the other back rower, and then Kalol Matangi and Cam Murray. It's not the biggest pack. It's a good pack. It's very well balanced and they're fit and highly skilled. But if you don't have those two bookends just destroying teams, like when Tom Burgess there, if you had Tom Burgess and Totola, then you're talking. Then you've got Kalol Matangi, Jai Arrow, and then you've got Cam Murray. That's a better pack. It's one of their better packs.
For sure. And I think when Tom Burgess comes back, he provides that X factor. I will say, though, is this a concern, not a concern, or they would have liked to have had this back, Souths? The last three games, Tamworth, Perth, and Cairns.
Yeah, yuck. It's taking its toll. Mm. This is the travelling.
People don't understand.
Living out of your suitcase, not sleeping in your own bed. You come back. Like, they'll be back this week. I think who are they playing this week?
They're playing at...
They're playing in Sydney, right? The road trips are done. You know, then they can finally get in there. You just get back into consistency and back into the routine. Because living in and out of hotels, like
they got Newcastle, so they're gonna have to travel again.
Traveling again, you're still traveling the night before, right? Mm. You don't travel the game like game day.
Do at all those trips as well. What's at all those trips?
Shit food, diets buffets, all over the place. Buffets. You know, you're not eating your normal food, even though, you know, you're trying to stay on top of it, but where the S&C and the dietitian and all that kind of stuff. So you're eating, you know, like, you know, even after, you know, you just say you're playing on the Saturday or Sunday. The Saturday you go out for dinner. There's a lot of pastas, a lot of food. Then you usually go into the 7-Eleven, you're fucking eating chips and all that sort of stuff. I'm saying not everyone.
Gaming.
Yeah, some game, your sleeping patterns are all out. And they're still managing to win, right? Mm. They're 2-3 from that little road trip?
No, they lost. They are too. But they just scraped by the Tigers.
They haven't been just fucking nailed like we think they can.
Yeah.
Next three games, very important. Dragons, this is what I expect from the Dragons. They're just trying to upset pricks.
Yep. Knights, they go Knights by Roosters to finish off.
Mm.
Rabbitohs.
Knights will be hard.
Knights will be really
Knights up there, mate. It was good, good atmosphere.
Yeah.
You
know what I reckon's hurt the Rabbitohs? At the start of the year, obviously their middle's been out for an extended period of time, but at the start of the year, remember how good their right edge was going? Kalol Matangi, Campbell Graham. Kalol Matangi gets injured going into Origin, misses about 10 weeks, Campbell Graham after Origin.
Sternum.
Does his sternum. So for people
during
that don't know.
Origin. Just before, remember? He missed out.
Game one.
Yeah.
That's why I had to pull out, right? I fractured my sternum 1 year in the under 20s and I come back after a couple of weeks. It fucking sucked all year. Mm. It wasn't until the end of the year that I'd finished playing. And that was in like round three I got it.
Yeah.
And for me, because I was a taller edge back roll, just like Campbell Graham, you watch Campbell Graham defend. He's a really good defender. But what he does, he uses his size and he bear hugs people too, right? So when you're running in and you're hitting that fucking fracture that still hasn't fully repaired.
I remember I did my sternoclavicular, which is like sternum and your clavicle right there. And it was fractured. I had to play over the whole year.
Yeah.
And get needled. It was awful.
Yeah.
Yuck.
I remember I got needled up. This is under 20s too. So Jimmy Dimmick, our coach on under 20s, got needled up, fucking hit it a couple of times. How does it feel? Because the game before I'd got hit and fucking had to come off.
It feels good when you're doing it.
And he goes, yeah, he goes, you're gonna be all right? Because he's putting he used to put me under pressure all the time. He's like, you're gonna be all right, you're gonna be sweet. And I said, yeah, sweet. Bang ran out there, like three tackles in.
That's the worst, isn't it?
I went down.
You feel like you can run through a fucking brick wall.
At half time, he comes, you know, when the coach is walking, they come see me. Come on, you said you're going to be all right. I was like, fuck. Sorry, Jimmy.
I thought so. You did needle me, and I couldn't feel shit.
It felt good until after fucking I ran out there and I go, oh shit, that needle's starting to go away already.
It's starting to wear off second half. It's awful.
All right, let's move it on to the Tigers versus the Warriors. Anything else on that? Rabbitohs versus Dragons? Nah. Dragons, bit of fight. Anything
Rabbits
else?
Rabbits just need to. Consistency, like just put. They really need to put the Newcastle away
with the bye coming up. Yeah, going to the Roosters. Yep. Yep. All right. Tigers versus the Warriors. Tigers gave the Wild a little scare. OG.
Yeah.
Warriors haven't come out of the bye as expected. Tough game against the Titans last week, and now they back it up with another tough performance against the Tigers team. Both teams they were probably expected to beat and beat well, especially the Titans game, considering they had 12 men for 60 minutes. How do you see the form of the Warriors at the moment?
Yeah, I'm not scared. Mm. You know, like I think they're just playing to the level of competition, right? They just, you know, the Titans are up for it.
Yeah.
And the Tigers are up for it. You know, they're fighting for their pride and everything. That's just because they've had bad years. Like you're going into these last four games. As I said, like some are off contract. You're playing for your career.
Tigers are showing a lot of
yes. Tigers got some balls, man. They're trying for a contract next year. You know, so there's a lot of nuances that people don't understand. Just because you've had a really shit year, just this last four games, for some of these people could be like 10 players playing for contracts. Yep. You're playing for your livelihood, so you're going to put everything out. So you're going to play against the Warriors, you're going to put everything in. You're going to put everything into the Warriors. You know, the Warriors are just doing enough to win. You know, if the Warriors were playing against the Panthers, then you can understand.
Again, with regards to Titans in Gold Coast, they play the Tigers in Hamilton, Waikato.
Yeah.
So they get a chance to game. Oh, yeah. Cranking.
Can't wait for this week.
A couple of streakers. It's going to be pumping at Mount Smart. I can't wait for it. Plus, we get to see Manly again. I think we'll message Snakey. We'll catch up with the Snake as well, eh?
Oh, have you over there? Yes. Oh, Snakey will be great. 100% we will.
I thought Dane Laurie's been all right in the 60s.
He was outstanding.
Yeah. So you,
outstanding. I was off him a couple of weeks ago.
Well, he played well against the Dragons, which you missed.
Yeah.
Then he come out and had a stinker. Who'd they play? Maybe the Rabbitohs?
Yes. Or? And he just come in, like, defensively he was really bad.
Yep. All right, so he had a bad game for sure. But I thought he's been pretty good in the sixth jersey considering.
Yep.
And he could be a nice little 14 option for the Panthers next year.
He is quick and powerful, man. When he's on, like, he just – I just want to see him run the ball.
Mm.
Like a couple of things that he did. Like he nearly won in the game.
Mm, yeah, he did.
If they didn't shut him down and take him serious, he was taking him on the inside shoulders and everything like that. He was breaking him apart. He's nice dangerous.
He set up the Papali'i try. Yeah. He set a Papali'i try and then he set up the Luke Brooks try.
What
back
position
straight after.
He is, man? I don't know what he
is. I don't think he's a six either, eh?
Not a six. He's just he's a fullback.
Yeah.
But what do you do with the young kid Buller? And what do you do next year with Dylan Edwards? Like, no, do you put him neither. At 14? Like, I'm not sure.
14, yeah.
He just needs to just keep playing like that. He looked good.
Yeah. Warriors would be sweet. On to them next week.
Not worried.
Roosters versus Dolphins. They win 30-14. The Roosters get the win, but the Dolphins showed grit again.
Yeah.
The Ray Stone sim binning was really soft. Uncle Wayne was furious.
What was that
with
what
the hip? So you missed this game, didn't you?
No, I watched it.
So that's when Mutters Hutchinson got cut around the legs and then he got clipped over the top.
Yeah, it was nothing.
There's nothing in it. Nothing in it.
A couple of things that the refs are really just fucking pissing a lot of players off, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think not players, I think fans.
Even that's what I'm saying. It's just supporters. Like, they're just like, what are you doing? So they get a little bing in their bonnet, even like last week, just sending people off, like just for a fucking high shot.
Yeah, their shoulders to the head.
Just be consistent. Like, their shoulders to the head, send them off. But that was nothing, man. They're gritty, but the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They go at it.
The Roosters probably deserved the win, and you probably were going to win all the time, but fuck the Dolphins, just hang in there.
Yeah. And that's DNA of the club. That's going to be there forever now.
Yeah.
Because that's their debut season. They would have had all these things written out, what we want to be known as. They'll be disappointed they didn't make the eight.
Yeah.
You know, if they didn't fall off so bad,
yeah, a few injuries. They just couldn't afford to have any injuries at all.
Soft tries, but like with Hutchison going through, like just like
shout
made
out
him, made him, yeah.
Shout out to
mate. He probably played his best game ever.
Yeah. He was good.
He was really good.
So does that create a bit of a head noise for Coach Robinson Mace? Sammy Walker returned to New South Wales Cup. He had 20-plus runs for 135 metres, and he set up a couple of tries as well. Do the Roosters bring Sammy Walker back in, or does he play another couple of weeks? What's the plan for Sammy Walker?
Well, he won't be playing this week because of Hutchison's performance.
You reckon?
Yeah. I think they'll be a little bit – I think they're off him. I think they're off. I think they're off Walker, and you'll see this week. I'm not sure. Like, okay. Yeah, reserve grade is a big, big difference. I expect him to do that in reserve grade.
Yep.
So do I. It's a big level drop there. You know, it'll be interesting to see if what they do. If they put him in the extended bench, are they thinking of him, or is he to play another? Like, you know, he's not a reserve grader. He's a first grader. And if they were fair dinkum about keeping him and making a decent run, they'd be putting him in the team somewhere.
Yep. So we'll see, eh? The next couple of weeks could determine honestly don't the future think they for will. Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll wait and see how that comes out. We'll have the teams by the time we do preview on Wednesday. No. So looking forward
Marshall
to it.
King. What did he do?
Yep. Jeremy Marshall King. So he's had this chronic shoulder problem for a while now. And even Gus was saying in the coverage that it dates back to the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
He's going to get surgery. He's out, which is –
That sucks.
He is having a great season. At the start of the year when they were
top expectations, four.
He was a big reason. He also misses out on the Kiwi side. So I got hit with this one while I was doing SEN, Jimmy Smith.
Sorry, I liked it.
Do you like my team?
Yeah, I like it.
So for those who haven't seen
it. But I just don't know what's with the clock said. I don't know. You're going to put him in left centre because he was awful last year.
So for SEN, I did crunch time on Sunday with Jimmy Smith. He asked me, what is your spine right now? You've got to pick between Jerome Hughes, Dylan Brown, and of course the form player of the competition right now. You said Reece Walsh Johnson. Before.
No, yeah.
It'd probably be Sean Johnson.
Johnson's got the Dally M, I think.
Yep. Who are you going and why? Who would you pick? Did you like my
I like that. Selection? I just don't know what I was going to do with fullback because I think Chance has been playing outstanding this year.
So you would move Joey from fullback to centre now that Chance is playing better at fullback, or would you leave Joey at fullback?
I'll put Jerome Hughes in that team somewhere.
Yeah.
But I reckon maybe even 5'8 and have Dylan Brown come off the bench.
Okay. So if you were to pick a team today,
yep.
Shawnee at half.
Yep.
Lock.
Yep.
Then you're trying to figure out the six and you're probably going to go
I think
Jerome.
I'll go Jerome Hughes, yeah.
Yep. And Dylan Brown at 14.
Dylan Brown, 14.
Fullback.
And then I just need him to get the ball more than like – because in some test games, like he can sit on that edge – all game, the ball's not going out there.
Yeah,
I just need him to get the ball and get like 20-plus touches because something's going to happen.
Here's my thing with it, and this is why I picked Jerome. I reckon in this day and age, when you look at the teams that are going well as well, Reece Walsh at the back, Dill Edwards, probably Tedesco. Tedesco, all these sort of fullbacks though. I think
– Drink water.
Drinky. I would prefer – oh, they're ninth. I hear people screaming that out. But still, Drinky's on fire.
Yeah.
I reckon for a Kiwis team, you have Shawnee dictating. You've got Dill Brown playing his ball running best, as always. So you get Shawnee flipping both sides like he's doing at club level. Then you've got Jerome or Joey Manu at fullback. So what I'd do is I'd defend Jerome at centres in defence.
Left centre or right?
Left. Yeah. So left or right, depending on wherever you got Tim McCall, right? Because I think Tim McCall will be a lock for the other right centre position or left centre. So you move wherever Tim McCall doesn't play, you have Jerome Hughes playing fullback in good ball because that's where I want him. But you play Joey Manu at fullback in defence. So you still get his kick returns and you get all those good yardage strong metres that you get out of yardage.
Would you say where else would you play him? Just say he – because that's a lot of fucking around on the field.
Well, not really. It's just changing Jerome and thing around. So
Manu at the left? Left centre?
Wherever Jerome moves from, just say he's left centre, right? He defends left centre outside of Dill Brown. I think you'd do a fine job doing that in the centres. In attack, whenever he gets the ball in attack, he starts flying in the middle. Joey goes from kick returns. As soon as he catches, kicks returns, tries to skittle a few people, he just floats out to his left centre position.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that.
And then Jerome starts popping up again through the middle. Or you just have a little call for a couple of sets. Like, I just go back to when Trent Robertson did it really well with us with Minicello and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Different positions on the wing, but that's even just a place closer to come through the middle. So my lineup would be Joey Manu So Jerome Hughes at fullback. I'd have Dylan Brown at six. People were sleeping on Dylan Brown. Dylan Brown was killing it. Yeah, the only reason he missed a lot of footy is because of the off-field shit. Yeah.
I don't know if they're sleeping on him. I'm having him in the side somewhere.
No, there was a lot of people, I think, just because of the time he's missed, even in the comments of someone.
Please,
to me,
he's a gun.
He even tried to will Parramatta back into
he's
that game.
He's a gun, yeah.
Against the Broncos as well. But, yeah, so that would be my side anyway. We'll see how that plays out as we go on. I think it's going to be the Kiwis versus Australia versus Samoa in the Tri-Nations at the end of the year. Speaking of Jerome Hughes, the Storm beat the Raiders 48-2. Yeah. Absolute clinic. The type of bounce back game that you expect from the Storm after they lose to the Penrith Panthers in the fashion that they did. And I thought Munster nailed it last when he was talking about it after the game. There's levels to the Panthers at the moment.
Yeah.
And they've got to find a way to get up there. They've got 3 to 4 weeks to try to figure it out. But they took their aggression out. Danger signs. When Welsh crossed for the first try straight through the middle, I was like,
it's danger signs for the Raiders, full stop.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like he barely scores a try as Welsh, let alone come through the front door.
He hasn't scored in 2 years.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But coming through the front door of a team that's got Papali'i and
like 7 minutes into the game, 8 minutes into the game too.
Yeah, it's not good signs. You know, we've got those guys this week, and I think we might feel the wrath of Canberra.
Ooh.
Fucking a very angry Ricky Stewart.
Oh.
Yuck.
Shout out to Ricky for the depressor of the week too. I was going to bring it up, but I was like, go and have a look at it. Have a watch. Yeah. Judge it for yourself. I love Ricky. Fuck. 80 seconds of the best. That's all he gave him.
The Storm's good, man.
You know what? There was danger signs when he went through, but it's like every other try, it was like, man, they're just – there's just so many holes everywhere.
Yeah. It's this more. Do you look at this game and go, Storm's on, they're going to make a big run? Or you look at the Raiders and go, fuck.
Raiders are awful.
Yeah.
It was a mixture of both.
Yeah.
It was a mixture of both.
Because of the.
But I'm leaning towards Raiders.
Mr. Simons defensively.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at. That's dangerous for the Raiders. You think by now, round 24, like you're not really missing that many like easy opportunities in defense. You shut all that down. And they were missing just like really basic reads. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, there were even just holes where people were coming up.
Yeah, he's just like
not shutting the gate.
Yeah.
Harry Grant come off the bench. I guess like Ballyhack gave him a bit of a rest post-Origin.
It's good.
He's played a lot of footy. But it's been a big year for him transitioning to that full number nine, right? Yeah. It's like he's –
for some games last year he played 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Big difference. And you go balls out. He was coming on and just changing games like by himself, changing the whole speed of the ruck because he knew like he's like, – 15 minutes before halftime.
Yeah, yeah,
and he's fit as hell. Now he's like, you got to manage that 80 minutes sometimes. Sometimes you might be out there for the whole time. They don't have that Brandon Smith coming off the bench. They were fucking unbelievable, those two.
It's been a big adjustment for both of them, right? Brandon and Harry. Brandon struggled a little bit more because he's a new club. Harry's had a really good season, but still I think he's the opposite to Cheese, where I think Cheese is starting to get better as he gets more acclimated to the system. Yeah. And Harry's starting to fatigue a little bit.
Yeah, well,
and I think that was part of it.
Starting injuries off as well. You know what I mean? Like he was out for 8 weeks. New system where Harry's still the same system. They pretty much built around him. You know, it wasn't that much of a change for him, just more time. And he could acclimate to that easy because it's just a fitness thing.
Speaking of more time, Ryan Pappenhuyzen got a full 80 minutes for the Falcons. One try, 6 goals. One of them was a penalty goal, 19 runs for 127, the best one line break, 2 line break assists and 2 try assists. How quickly do they rush Pappy back in or do they just keep giving it time? Do you want me to get the schedule up for the night, for the Storm, sorry?
I don't know, but I want him to get at least 2 games in, 2 or 3. If he's getting through 80 minutes now.
Yep. So they play.
Do you put him in? I would.
They've got the Dragons, Titans and Broncos.
I'm putting him in.
Against the
Starting
Dragons,
him, yeah.
You know what? I'd prefer to go Titans. I'd wait one more game, go Titans, right. And then they get the Broncos up at Brisbane.
I think this might be a Pappy choice, right?
Yeah, he could play a part for sure.
If Belly's like, you ready to roll?
Well, Belly said after the game he hadn't yet watched the game, and he said he was going to come back and talk to Pappy.
He's ready to go, he's ready to go.
Okay,
I think it might be, and I don't think if Pappy can get through 80 minutes like he has, he's done all the rehab, he's done everything possible, the time and everything like that. Now it's just a mental thing, and just going, fuck, I'm ready. And if he's not ready, he'll say no.
Yep,
because he's a pretty open sort of person, right? He's not a selfish player or anything like that. You don't want to put yourself out there. If you're not ready, it's a big jump from Q Cup to NRL football.
But those good stats, that's himself. How you want to
great
play,
stats.
Right?
They're great stats.
Yep.
They're great stats, but it's a different level when you step up to the NRL. So
you know
maybe another
stats?
Game.
Jared Croker, 300 of the best, 305 currently.
Nice.
He announced his retirement in the year, said his body's just given up. Shout out to Croker, great servant
well
of the game.
Well done, mate.
Hopefully he gets to finish off the year well.
Yeah.
He might be backing against your Dogs. I don't know, what's happening with him at the moment, but said the body just...
Wasn't keeping up, was it?
Wasn't keeping
up. The mind was there, but the body wasn't there. It's weird, eh?
All right, great career.
He's going to get, you know what he's going to be in? He's going to be in those teams, best players not to play Origin.
Yeah. Most underrated player of all time.
Best bloke.
Do you want to be the most underrated?
Fuck that.
I think there was one year where Andrew Voss put out a team and he had me as one of the most underrated players in the year. I was like,
whatever.
It's like a backhanded
compliment. Yeah, it is.
Right?
It is.
It's like I'm not rated.
It is.
But it's still nice to get a compliment regardless. All right, the Knights beat the Bulldogs 42-6. Close to your best lineup of the year, Mace, but super underwhelming. I was so surprised. I thought I made them my LPC multi of the week because I thought the 8.5 was going to be enough to bounce back. But after the first try to Gags, just the floodgates. It's just as bad as the Raiders game.
I don't know. I was up there. I went up and see my brother in Morpeth. Family's hanging out together. Yeah, it was good, man. It was good to see him. We stayed the night up there, drove down, got dropped at McDonald's Stadium. Was expecting a hell of a lot. They trained amazing all week. Everything was said. The preparation was spot on. And then just the performance was really underwhelming. That's being very, very fucking nice.
That's been happening now because I thought at the start of the year they showed some real signs of fight. I feel like they've completely – well, they're the Bulldogs. They've lost a dog in them.
Yeah.
They're just struggling for dog. Like, they're struggling for fight. The reason I love what Reedy did was because Reedy, even going back to the Broncos game when they were trying to do the tri-julies, he's slapping balls out of their hands. You can tell it means a lot to him. He looks super frustrated. But I need to see more from other players in there.
Yeah.
Like, there are other guys in that team that have got massive raps on. The Matty Burtons, the Viliami Kikau is only a couple of games back now. Luke Thompson's one game back. Mm. But they're your highest paid players. They can't afford to have back-to-back. And this is my opinion.
If I was really going to say my opinion.
Well, let me go. Let me go. They cannot put performances of less than 7 out. That's just, you can't do it. You still got too many players in that team that are probably not week to week first grade material, but you're getting a lot better and you'll get better next year. But those guys, they can't afford to toss that up. They're on too good of money.
Mm.
They're too good of players. I know it's super frustrating when you're playing in a team and it's not going right and sometimes the level of the team comes down, but you just got to find a way to be better.
With what I feel sorry for is the coaching staff, right? The Chad Randalls, the Zap Turners, the Ciro's, Mick Potter. The amount of work that these guys put in, right?
You know the players are working too.
Yeah, and the players are doing – and this is what I can't put my finger on, and to all the Bulldogs fans out there, the preparation that they get, the coaching that they get is fucking second to none. Mm. It's some of the best prep I've seen a team go through. And it's just a performance thing, right?
Do you think it's like it's fully a mental thing now? Like mentally they've been beaten down? Like, you know, you look at Reedy, successful Parramatta team, Viliami, Birdo, but they just look pretty – like as soon as that try happened, I was like, oh, shit, they're going to get blown out.
Yeah. But we started off, it was like 6 or 7 minutes. What we played
good,
smash mouth football.
Yeah.
Straight through the middle, got to the kicks, and then, you know, one missed tackle, then bang, try, Gags. Like it was just step through and just miss assignments. You know, compared to how they train and what we're trying to build there, and then you just like you look at that game. You know, what do you say? I'm confusing. Fucking confused after games. Like I'm in the sheds. You know, I get to see how they react after the losses and at halftime.
The bus with them.
I caught the bus on the way home. Like not one word.
I get it.
I've never been in a position. Ever in my career in this position as a player, and it's like it's hard to give them advice on stuff like this is how you bounce back. Like, I don't fucking know how to do, like, you know what I mean? Like, you just got to keep working hard, trust in the process, keep doing that. You know, 3 more games to go. Let's win 3 games. That's all you can do is just be positive. It was just hard. It was very hard to watch. Just like, because I was so fucking confident. I thought we're going to win.
Yeah.
I honestly did. Mm. And I was just like, I couldn't have been more wrong.
The hip drop on Hastings, that's the second
yeah,
time.
Yeah, presto,
now.
Presto, mate. I love, great kid. It's just, this is what's going to happen. In the game right now, right, with the hip drops, and this is how it happens. That's a legs tackle.
Yeah.
You should have, it should have went straight to the legs. If you're not right in front of the bloke and you go high, what are you going to do? You're going to lose your legs and you're going to end up on a hip drop. You're going to swing around. So just a little tip to any young players, if you're going to, you know, and it's not like Hastings is a big, destructive runner, right?
Correct.
You can just hip straight drive through his hips or straight through his chest, yep. Anything like that, anything but that.
He launched, just kept on driving.
He just missed it, he missed it, and then he sort of come around there, and there was no intention there, and Preston's one of the best kids I've ever seen at the club. He's highly intelligent, and his character is fucking second to none, and he might miss the three, he might get 3 weeks.
Yeah. There could be,
big chance. And it's such a shame because he's been, you know, he's probably going to be up there for rookie of the year. I reckon it's probably cost him a rookie of the year spot.
Yeah, it is too.
Yeah, it's going to be probably they're going to give it to that Buller now, and that's well deserved as well. But I think it's
or
only
Cam Pereira or Will Warbrick. Outside backs. I would have said Preston too.
Yeah, I think Preston just say in a side that's
Isaiah Katoa.
Yeah, is he fucking? He's rookie. Yeah, I suppose. But he would have been up there.
Yep. It would have been a big chance,
you know,
sure.
And it sucks that he's if it does end his career, end it in the season like
end
that.
The season,
it does because
there
was no intention there. Hopefully, Hastings isn't out for too long.
Well, scans today have confirmed Newcastle Knights halfback Jackson Hastings has a low grade syndesmosis, and he could be right for this week.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good.
Glad to see Jacko's doing.
Yeah, he's doing. He's just done well. Yeah.
On recent form, just before we move off and finish off the game, are the Knights? If you think of their last. Well, they won six in a row now.
Yeah.
In round 15, they played the Broncos in that fucking dog fight between Reece Walsh and Kalen Ponga. The following two games, they lose to the Roosters and the Panthers, both in close ones. They'd love to have that Roosters game, though, because at that time, I just don't think they had that fucking belief across the board. But they play maybe the Panthers and lose a close one. I think they beat the Roosters the following week. After that, they win six in a row. Two of those scalps, Storm and Raiders.
But
so top eight teams.
The game that turned them was when they pumped us 66-0. Remember that?
I think it was the game against the Broncos, even though they lost a couple.
Was that close to it?
That was 3 weeks before. So your 66-0 was the first win.
Yeah,
in the six
because we were on the same amount of wins.
You've started the streak.
No, but yeah, but the Bulldogs and the Knights were on the same amount of wins, so that's kicked it off.
Yeah.
The same amount as we're on five wins
that's
each.
Crazy, that's right.
And then they've fucking gone boom, and we've just you know. But that's that, you know, just a bit of confidence and all that kind of stuff, and consistency, and you know, like, and then you know they deserve it. They're fucking good team. Great club. I've got a lot of good friends still there, and I'm proud of Newcastle.
Yeah. There are. I think the most impressive part for me was the variety of tries that they scored.
Yeah, they play some footy, man.
For a while there at the start of the year, it was Greg Marzio and Dom Young. They're trying to get to the edges, but they're setting up well now. Specifically, Jackson Hastings, where he's setting up. He's just setting up shape all the
time. Dom Young looked like fucking Wendell Saylor in his prime.
He's a good player,
Dom Young. I'll miss him.
Is Dom Young going to miss some footy?
No, he's at the Roosters actually.
I thought he got injured and I missed it. All right, mate. We'll be back for the preview on Wednesday before we take off to New Zealand. Remember, come and find us in New Zealand. We'll be handing these out. Yeah. Looking forward to the show on Wednesday. We'll see you then.
All right. See you guys.